broadcasting from the Unshackled Studios in Melbourne. This is Wilmsfront, brought to you by theunshackled.net. Now here's Tim Wilms.
Hello everyone and welcome to the return to Monday Night Wilmsfront shows. Tonight is the 29th of June 2020. It is 6:40 p.m. here in Melbourne. We are live on the Wilmsfront YouTube channel and you can interact with the show tonight on Entropy. If you're in the YouTube live chat, you can access through the link there or either in the description. And of course, we are simulcast on DLive.tv. Melbourne's coronavirus cluster hotspots, coupled with rising cases in the US southern states, has seen the media whipping up fears about a second wave. I know when I hear the media and politicians talk about a second wave, I don't fear deaths from the coronavirus or our hospitals being overwhelmed. I fear the continued erosion of our civil liberties and our second house arrest. The societal effects of the lockdown and house arrest on people's mental and physical health, on families and those living alone, have been completely disregarded throughout this pandemic. The economic devastation from the coronavirus lockdowns has only just begun. In Australia this past week, we saw two of our major iconic companies, Qantas and Woolworths, announcing massive job redundancies. And there's been a lot of smaller brands and companies announcing layoffs as well. In the month of May, 227,000 jobs were lost. In Australia, long-term unemployment is another contributing factor to mental health issues in individuals. This effect of the coronavirus shutdown has not garnered the attention that it should. The state of Victoria finds itself in the epicenter of the so-called second wave, despite Premier General Andrews implementing the harshest lockdowns and most punitive measures in Australia. Therefore, it is not surprising that Victoria has become the epicenter of the anti-lockdown, pro-freedom activism that has sprung up online and out into the streets. We've profiled many individuals who are part of Melbourne's new freedom movement. So on the return of Monday night's Wilmsfront, I'd like to introduce James Bartolo from the Conscious Truth Network. James, welcome to the show.
Bartolo.
I knew I'd mess it up.
Good to be on the show.
Now, your channel, the Conscious Truth Network, it's both a YouTube channel, a Facebook page. You've also got a Facebook group. You launched it with a video vlog from the May 10th Mother's Day anti-lockdown revolt, as I call it, outside Victoria's Parliament House. So why did you decide to attend, and what was your reaction to Victoria's police aggressive shutdown of the protest?
So why I decided to attend was I've always been very interested in researching the truth of this world and discovering the many hidden secrets that the powers that shouldn't be have covered with lies everywhere. And at first, with this whole coronavirus pandemic, I had no idea. I didn't know exactly what was going on. And then after a couple of weeks, I started looking into it more and started to discover even more lies and, discover the lies and peel back the truth underneath it. And I thought, okay, I can see this is starting to come into their end game. This is what the past thousands of years have been building up to. And it's now or never. I always knew this was something I would have to do to do my part for humanity. I just didn't want it to be this early. So I saw that protest and I thought, hey, what the hell? I'm going to go along and do some interviews. I was thinking about starting up some kind of channel like what I've done right now, but I wasn't sure exactly how to do it. And when you're under pressure, you got to come up with something. So went to the protest there and started interviewing people and saw exactly what everyone else was saying. All the other people, the leading experts in conspiracy theories, or really the truth, had been saying that this is the cabal's last push. This is the cabal's last push, and they're going to start acting crazy. Crazy, because the actions of the police that day were absolutely despicable. Absolutely despicable. Like running up behind Craig. He had no idea what
Craig
was going
Cole.
on. Yeah, Craig Cole picking him up, cutting him in the forehead, grabbing Thanos, attacking some poor man that was standing on the other side of the protest who wasn't even attending the protest. He had, I believe, two like babies in a pram. And they've just grabbed him, thrown him on the ground, manhandled him. It was disgusting. And then myself walking down the street, they've grabbed me with no lawful reason whatsoever. And that was terrible. So that's what got me started into all this. And I thought after that, yeah, enough's enough. Let's launch this channel. Let's learn all about video editing and setting up the Facebook groups and all that kind of jazz and get the message out there to as many people as possible to wake up people and to show the people who are already awake that we need to unify.
Because to remind everyone, Victorians were banned from seeing their mothers on Mother's Day. The house arrest, which it properly should be called, was in place. I remember on May the 8th, there was the National Cabinet meeting where Scott Morrison unveiled the three-step framework, he called it, for a COVID-safe Australia. And I remember after he announced that, Daniel Andrews came out and said, "Whoa, hang on, no, nothing changes today. We're going to wait until the state of emergency expires on Monday, and or if you do anything on the weekend that I don't approve of, then Victoria Police will be out enforcing it." And it was at the height of his power trip at that time, and the polls had his approval rating soaring. And this I never forget these type of events. I know with the 24-hour media cycle, it just goes to the back of people's minds, but we should never forget that how much he treated us like children and threatened us. Victoria had the most punitive lockdown measures in the states, and so it's not surprising there. It's still despicable that Victoria Police, well, were on their own power trip that day, and as I said at the time, they breached social distancing to manhandle yourself, Craig Cole from No Consent, and Thanos from the 99% group. And I remember on the mainstream media that night, the like violence at the anti-lockdown protest or chaos. And that's obviously the hint or what they were trying to tell their audience was it was because of these conspiracy people. But as you can see, there were smartphones all around that day, camera phones filming. Victoria Police were the aggressor. And so you mentioned that you were manhandled by Victoria Police. Did you have any interaction with them that day? Did they try to question you?
So what happened? I saw how they were treating that father who had the kids in the pram. And I went over and I filmed it as well. And I was yelling at them, just asking them, "What are you doing? Like, are you doing the right thing? Look in your hearts. Like, is this what you signed up for?" And there was not many cops there who I'm quite empathetic. And you can see in people's eyes when they know they're doing the right thing. There was a woman, a police officer there who was looking like, "Holy shit, like, I know this is not the right thing," but most of the cops there were loving it. They just love causing terror, especially the ones with higher command. Like, you can just smell the Freemasonry coming off them. And they just, when I was over there at first, they're threatening, "Oh, you'll be arrested next, you'll be arrested." I'm like, "Yeah, sure, if that'll be false arrest and I'll sue you civilly." And they don't like it when you tell them that. And then myself and my friend Lockie, who was filming me that day, we just started walking down the street away from them, and we were doing an interview while we were walking with another man that we just saw there. And as Lockie was filming the man who was speaking, the cops were walking after me, And he just kept saying, move on, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, sure I am, but like, you've got no authority. You don't actually have any authority. Where is your purported authority coming from? It's like, oh, this act and this act, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, can you prove that it's been lawfully enacted? Like, where's the certificate of proclamation? Where's the publication of the Gazette? Where's the royal assent? Oh, no, it's totally illegal. Illegal and unlawful. But the thing is, I was still walking down the street away from him, and, you know, he had enough of me, you know, schooling him in the world of law, and he just grabbed me and decided that he'll jump on me and unlawfully arrest me. And as that was happening, I was like, whatever, okay, you know, arrest me. But I was still holding my mic at the time. And one cop was trying to put my arm around my back here, and another cop was putting my arm around my back here. And I'm just like, come on, these guys obviously don't go to the gym. Like, what are they doing? Because I didn't want to put my arm behind my back still holding the mic. So I was like, no, like, I've got to put this in my pocket. He's like, no, I'll give it to your friend. So another cop came over, and I gave it to him, and then he gave it to Lockie. And then as I was like, okay, whatever, I'm just going to comply, like, because they've got guns, there's lots of them, and they're dangerous people, I'll just comply, put my arms behind my back and let them cuff me. And as I was doing that, another one comes in the front and sticks his forearm in my throat. He's like, you better do what you're told, otherwise you're going to get hurt. And I'm like, whoa, dude, I'm complying. What the hell? They're just psychopaths, absolute psychopaths. They get a thrill out of, you know, harming and hurting innocent people who are defenseless with no weapons, and when they outnumber them.
So you could have been George Floyded that day, potentially, if using that type of brute force on you.
Ah, disgusting. Absolutely disgusting people. Though there was one cop there who I could, yeah, who did have humanity. Like, I could tell he was a good cop, just, well, you know, he was a better man than the others, because they've walked me over to the van that was there and then put me in there. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, I'm going to sue you all for false arrest if you keep on taking this further. And then the good cop was like talking to me as if I was a human, which was nice. And then he just got some details, and then I just kept saying the same thing, and they let me go literally two minutes after that. So I was like, okay, whatever.
And that was the first major revolt against the lockdown and house arrest in Victoria. The people of the state had been largely, or should I say sheeple, had been largely compliant with the house arrest. You were only allowed to leave the house for four essential reasons, which was to get food or medicine, or to provide care, or for exercise, or for essential work. And we should also remember, I'm not sure if you remember, that Dan Andrews tried to get away with, it was known as a bonking ban, that if you didn't live with your partner, you weren't allowed to visit them. That was not considered essential. You might kill somebody on the way. That lasted 6 hours after rightful outrage. And you probably remember all this Easter long weekend, Victoria Police just pulling people over, asking, what's your business being out? And if the response of most people should have been, none of your business. That's how it is normally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's just this totalitarian tiptoe. Like, I don't understand how some people still think that's okay to be harassed by these people with weapons when you just walk down the street. Like, what are you doing? Where's your papers? Like, what kind of world do we live in? Is this meant to be a free world? It's not, but on the illusion is that it is meant to be, but clearly not. Continue.
So I think they were definitely freaked out by the Mother's Day anti-lockdown protest. And if they thought that that was going to intimidate you, Fanos, another anti-lockdown activist I've interviewed, so have you, is Rafael Fernandez. All it did was harden you all and see a spike in interests in these activists, the 99% Unite Facebook group that has boomed. And this just shows just how silly those the powers that be are. They think that by intimidating you and the others and setting an example, that it's just going to make you go away and interest in your message disappear. It's the opposite effect.
Mm-hmm. And they should know that by now. When you look at past revolutions and past history, yeah, that doesn't work. But they're desperate. They're absolutely desperate.
So did you go to the Botanical Gardens protest the following four, it was 3 weeks later. It was on the May the 28th, I think it was, off top of my head. That was when you're allowed to gather outside in groups of 10. There was no police aggression there, but they watched everyone like hawks and barked social distancing instructions at them. Were you there that day?
Yeah, well, there actually was aggression. I did go there and I did cover that event, but I ended up having a setting wrong on my microphone. And then when I've checked the footage when I've got home, because I got some really good interviews with people who had kids and stuff, vaccine injured. So I was very, very disappointed, but the audio quality was just gone. But I've still got some of the video footage, and the cops formed a wall and they just started, you know, yelling like madmen and just slowly using military tactics and moving forward while yelling at the people to maintain social distancing. But they were literally boxing people in to a tighter area. So then their cameras there could film people, and if necessary, they could put it to the media to make it look like to the outside world all these protesters are standing really clumped together and the police are doing the right thing. But I was even asking lots of people who were around me when the police were doing this if they felt intimidated and threatened, and many people did, because they were just an armed force and they had horses, and there was maybe 40, 50 of the cops there, I'm not sure exactly. But for what reason, what grounds were they just charging forwards? And I didn't see it, but a mate of mine who was there, Andy, saw it. A cops pushed a woman out the way aggressively. And just that alone is not on. Because it doesn't need to be extreme violence where the cops are killing people. That's besides the point. They're meant to be keepers of the peace. They're the ones sparking all the conflict.
Yes. It was almost like that day they were trying to provoke somebody in the crowd to confront them, and so they could claim that it was an unruly crowd and they were right to shut it down. But nobody there took the bait. And I think that the police, they're also intimidated by activists such as yourself, because you know your rights. It's very easy to fine and move on people who don't or know their rights or just accept what the police say. And they get very tongue twisted when people such as yourself challenge them. He's one of the Sydney anti-lockdown activists, Victor Tay, from Exercising Your Rights, and his encounters with the New South Wales police. They came up with things like, you're not complying with the spirit of the law. I didn't know that laws had spirits.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. But yeah, I mean, they literally have no idea. They don't understand the law at all, because if they did, they wouldn't have joined. They wouldn't have joined. They'd be doing things like me and you. If they actually cared about people, that they'd be arresting each other. They'd be arresting the politicians. They'd be arresting all the Freemasons. They'd be doing something that's going to contribute to society, not cause fear and intimidation and take away people's freedom. And what's worse than that?
Laws are meant to be objective, not subjective. And that's what this house arrest, which it came from executive state of emergency powers, which were passed by the legislature of Victoria many years back in response to the Black Saturday bushfires of 2009, but it's a massive delegation of power from the legislature to the executive. And when the Victoria Police were ordered to implement this state of emergency, or as they say, the Chief Health Officer's directive, they were asked to use discretion, which is the ultimate subjective application of the law. Depending on what police officer you get, they can say, no, I don't believe that you're out of the house for what I deem essential reasons. They can decide based on their own judgment if you're a lawbreaker or not, which was the most, I think, outrageous thing of the house arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people who attended these anti-lockdown protests, the mainstream media, they were eager to talk about how they were anti-vaxxers, anti-5G. What did you find was the major issues for attendees? Yes, there were people there who were concerned about those, but what was your overall impression?
Freedom from a tyrannical government. That was definitely the prime motive, because all those other issues are just secondary issues. 5G, sure, it's dangerous. Vaccine, sure, they're dangerous. But the most dangerous thing out of them all is a force that is issuing all those commands to all the subsectors in the medical industry and the police and the telecommunications industry. Who's controlling and dictating all that? Well, it's the government. Well, it's all the secret hands behind the government, but they're the illusory force that the public is aware of. Mm. So freedom.
Obviously, we should remind everyone of the official reason for this economic and societal lockdown and house arrest, and that is because of the dangerous contagion and health effects from the coronavirus. And we first learned that this coronavirus, or the strand of it, as is known, COVID-19, either came from a wet market in Wuhan, China, or a bioweapons testing facility in Wuhan, China. But we became aware what it was in January. It began to spread slowly internationally. What was your first impression of this coronavirus?
My first impression was I believed it. I didn't know. I wasn't aware yet. Like, in these past 3 months or so, it's been really good because I've learned a hell of a lot about what a virus is, why people actually get sick, like what are the reasons behind vaccination in the first place. Oh, like, I've learned a lot and a lot because we've got the comments box there. Can we just comment, who actually knows what a virus is? Like, is a virus a living thing? I just want to see what people think. Is a virus living? Like, yes or no? Oh, I think there's a bit of a delay with that. Okay.
We'll come back to the responses, but I think the concern and then fear and hysteria around the coronavirus is because it was an unknown, it was a new virus, and especially since it was born in a secretive communist regime where we weren't getting the whole truth. Even a lot of the health authorities didn't know what to believe. And there was footage coming out of China of apparently people dying in the streets, and they looked like they were suffering quite a bit. And so it was easy for people to have legitimate concerns about it. And when cases began to arrive here in Australia, and then the curve, as they call it, really shot up at the beginning of March, we saw the first wave of panic buying, starting with the toilet paper and paper towels, and then moving on to staples. And of course, the mainstream media, they're dying as a business. I mean, even during this pandemic, they've shed lots of jobs. A lot of their operations have shut down, but this was sort of their last hurrah. And of course, the mainstream media, what sells newspapers, what get eyeballs, it's fear. And an unknown virus, what better way to scare people shitless?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they claim it's a new virus, but the fact is coronavirus has been around forever. It's just because when you look into the nature of a virus, what is a virus? If we didn't have viruses, we would die. A virus is merely an excretion from the cell. So it's a reaction to a buildup of toxicity in someone's body. A cold, for example, is just a bacterial detoxification. Bacteria come out in the body through the bloodstream and they eat up detoxifying, putrefying flesh from toxicity that you've consumed or you've produced internally. There's two ways we become toxic: internally through our thoughts and emotions, and then externally through the food that we eat, which might have herbicides, pesticides, flavorings, colorings, artificial preservatives, blah, 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 the water, the air, the EMF radiation. Then there's an abundance amount of ways to cause toxicity in your body from the environment. And it's different. There's, you know, you can willingly consume toxins, like you can willingly smoke or drink alcohol or eat shitty food. Everyone knows that's going to be bad for you. But it's all the hidden ones that people don't know about, like in your toothpaste, in your shampoo, in the body wash you're putting on your skin. They literally put these poisons everywhere. And a virus is secreted when there's too much toxicity that the bacteria and whatever else is in there can't clean it up. So the cell creates, and through an exosome, it excretes a virus, which is not alive. There's no respiratory tract, no digestive system, no self-preservation mechanisms. It's a soap, it's a solvent. Like the closest thing I can give you an example of is mucus. When you have dirt and crap go up your nose to protect the, you know, delicate lining inside your nose, mucus will form and it will push out all the crap you've inhaled through your nose to protect your internal body. And a virus is very similar. It comes out and it will eat up toxicity, big time, and clear it out. But they completely relabeled that because it's a beautiful business model to trick people into Louis Pasteur's germ theory, because this has all started hundreds of years ago with, if anyone's interested, with Antoine Bechamp versus Louis Pasteur. Antoine Bechamp had the cellular theory, the terrain theory, which is the way the body actually works. And then Louis Pasteur, who I believe was most likely a part of some of these cults, had germ theory. Everyone knows pasteurization of milk. That came from Louis Pasteur. Pasteurization of milk that's getting off topic, but that's another bad thing. So what they did was they just relabeled this coronavirus. They just brought it up. They called it COVID-19. COVID-19 doesn't exist. It's not a thing. It's just a fake testing. But coronavirus is real. It's just a virus that's excreted from your body to protect you in response to toxicity.
And we were told that this has the potential to wipe out large swaths of the global population. And I bring it back to our Premier Dan Andrews. He was preparing to have the Melbourne Exhibition and Convention Centre as a makeshift morgue. And of course, that was relayed in the mainstream media that, oh, we're preparing for the worst. And they showed footage of those tent hospitals over in the US. But as we've come to realize now, the hospitals have been virtually empty throughout the entire pandemic. I'm not sure if you've witnessed what they're known as the TikTok nurses in the UK, because the hospitals are empty because they've sent everyone home, delayed cancer treatments. They're making these choreographed TikTok videos, and they're clearly not overworked from a pandemic. We've had 104 deaths in Australia so far from the coronavirus, 20 in Victoria. Do you know how many we've had in Victoria deaths from the flu this year?
None. Because it's probably all relabeled as COVID-19.
Even though last winter we had nationwide 900 deaths from the flu. It was the worst flu season on record. And I and my other media colleagues, we all got the flu and it was absolutely horrible. We knew we weren't going to die, but it was, we were bedridden for at least a couple of weeks, and it was highly contagious because we don't know who patient zero is, but we got it from each other, but we didn't shut down the entire economy, people losing their jobs, businesses, shut down, lock everyone of their homes because of this killer flu season. And it's clear that we're going to have less deaths from all strands of influenza this year. And I think it's time for an assessment now. Was it all worth it? Because we need to get the suicide statistics for this year compared to last year, the rates of family violence and mental health treatment and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at even the CDC, Center for Disease Control in America, their website, approximately worldwide every year, 646,000 people die every year from the flu. And like we look at, okay, what's the number on coronavirus? I don't know what it is at the moment, probably 400,000 or something, I'm assuming.
Well, it's 10 million cases worldwide, and it's around about to hit 500,000 deaths. And if you look at the last major global pandemic, that was the 68-69 Hong Kong flu, which killed between 1 and 4 million people, but we didn't shut down the world in 68-69.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And another thing that I've learned in this whole COVID-19 hoax is a virus is not contagious. The flu is not contagious. The flu is a viral detoxification. It's not possible unless it's man-made and it's injected into you, because a virus is not a living thing. It doesn't reproduce. The cells create it internally. So when you got the flu, you were just detoxifying, and you got to be glad that you're doing that, because when you don't detoxify, which the big pharma industry doesn't want you to, they give you all these pills and potions to cover up symptoms of sickness. And then people are like, oh, I've got cancer now. I don't know how that happened. Well, it's because you kept on suppressing symptoms with whatever someone's sick with, and they didn't allow the body to actually excrete all that poisonous toxic buildup from eating shitty food, from Wi-Fi radiation, from just the general world that we live in today that they have created for us that breaks people's bodies down. Because when you look at the native indigenous populations around the world, like Eskimos, some African tribes in the mountains, in Nepal, even the Aborigines before we got here, when they just live off the land, they're not subjected to mass amounts of radiation from radar and Wi-Fi towers. They don't get sick. They don't get cancer. Like, they don't die from diseases, because disease isn't a natural thing. It's a man-made thing. The body is constantly trying to go back to homeostasis, a state of balance. So a flu is not contagious, and they've literally done studies where they'll actually isolate the virus, which the COVID-19 test doesn't do, but where they'll isolate viruses of someone who's got a flu or some kind of sickness, pull it out in a syringe, and then put it into someone else. They're not going to get that same virus. It's just a little bit of toxicity. It's not even toxicity. It clears up toxicity. But it's not contagious. It appears to be contagious, like say with the flu, there's a couple times a year that it appears to be contagious, but it's very similar to this analogy. Like when a rooster in the morning starts crowing or cock-a-doodling, whatever you call it, and then the next rooster does, and then the next, or dogs start barking, or someone starts yawning, or when women are grouped together and you know, they sync up their period with the moon and their menstrual cycle starts to sync up. that's not really contagious, is it? It's got the appearance of being contagious, but it's not. That's what happens with the flu and colds. They're seasonal detoxification, because not everyone keeps their body smick and smack, if that's the right expression to use. But no, not contagious, but don't just take my word for it. Cross-reference it. Look up doctors. If anyone wants links and stuff, I can provide you with mountains of evidence for that and lots of reading. But no, it is not contagious. Nope.
Before we go on to the reported second wave, we might go through some audience questions on entropy, some continuing to put the link into the live YouTube chat. So the first question comes from Binary Agenda. The situation in Melbourne has clearly reached a point where we can no longer contain it. And I'm not talking about the coronavirus. Can we build a wall already? And I know that Binary Agenda is not from Victoria, but we are at the moment a national laughingstock pariah state, and I don't blame the people from the rest of Australia, given the current state of things. I'm not sure how you see it.
Yeah, we need to build a big wall in a circle and then put all the government in there, then and the media and any Freemasons, and then we'll have problem solved. Problem will be solved then.
Bieber Anti-Bullying has asked, how much crossover is there between anti-lockdown protesters and QAnon followers? You know about that theory?
Yeah. I don't know enough about QAnon. Best bet, though, it's probably a psyop, unfortunately.
I know that the anti-lockdown activists here in Melbourne, I've seen Thanos and Raphael talk about their belief that there's pedophile rings, historical and current, within government and business. What's your view on that?
Oh, for sure there would be. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not something you've looked into?
Not enough, but I've looked into enough pieces of the world and of everything that goes on, and that's their modus operandi. That's how they operate. When you look into Pizzagate and how these cults work, they're obsessed with children, they're obsessed with blood, they're obsessed with anything that's inverted and that's satanic, and it's very clear to see.
I myself, when not just with QAnon and the alleged pedophile rings and 5G and vaccines, it's not, I'm skeptical of anti-vaxxers, anti-5G, those who believe in pedophile rings. But the worst thing you can do is, and this is what all the social media sites are doing, is just shut down people talking about that, because that just fuels even more suspicion. And I've seen Thanos communicate this in his videos. If, like, why are you so concerned about us talking about this? And this is why I do the Unshackled, because free speech and free thought is absolute. You can't stop people believing what they believe. I mean, what's next? Mm-hmm. Like, are you going to censor people for believing that the Earth is flat? Like, is that considered a too dangerous an idea? And this is how the authorities are stupid, by thinking that shutting down these discussions or debates, that's the end of it. No, you're just fueling more suspicion.
But you know why they shut down those debates and don't let people talk about it, right?
Or because they don't want people digging into them, like about some of their secrets, which it might not be the things that I mentioned, but there can be elements of truth to theories such as QAnon and to the vaccinations.
Anything that they try to shut down and ridicule, it's because they've got nothing else. They know it's the truth and they can't have a debate about it because they will lose about any of those things, about vaccinations, about 5G, about flat earth, about the government, anything. Like, just look at their modus operandi. If they ridicule and censor and spread disinformation and misinformation about any topic, it's most likely true. But obviously, do your due diligence and cross-reference everything and make sure you critically think, because there are lots of consciousness traps everywhere for people, and that's their aim.
Yeah, but, do your own research. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Don't believe at face value what the mainstream media tells you. Don't believe what the anti-vaccination and anti-5G activists say at face value either. Do your own research.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cross-reference everything. Feel very comfortable in knowing what you believe. Like, it's better to have a neutral stance on something. Let's say with 5G, say for instance, you're like, I don't know. And instead, or a lot of people will just say, oh no, it is good. There's no harm in it. And then you'll ask them, okay, how many hours worth of research have you put into that? And they'll say none. So how could you possibly believe then that there is no danger to it? When you're speaking to someone who has put in dozens of hours of research into investigating the lethality of it, and these people are saying it is lethal, and someone who hasn't put any, not even 1 minute, it's like, okay, a smarter move would probably be to at least move into the middle point and say, I'm neutral about it. I don't know because I haven't looked at either side. Then do your research. I've got a quote. It's a mark of an intelligent man to change, or woman, to change their opinion when contradicted with facts. Well, when presented with facts and evidence that contradicts their current paradigm or belief system about reality. Like, don't get married to a belief just because that's been what you've always known. Like, it's okay to be wrong on this journey. I've been wrong so many times and sucked into so many consciousness traps. I look back at it now and I'm like, whoa, that was a whole load of bullshit. But you learn along the way. You learn along the way, and you got to spend time, really. And you got to figure out what's the most important thing to you, because there's a lot of these subjects people always disagree with. That's fine. But I'm sure the one thing we can all agree with is that freedom. We all just want to have the freedom to choose whether you want a vaccination, to choose whether a 5G tower goes up to near your house, to choose whether you want to go out and risk, even if there was a dangerous virus going around. You just want the freedom of choice. That's the most important thing. And I'm sure we can all agree on that. Like, hopefully, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Anxious Aussie has asked, will you two teach your children there is no such thing as a sexually transmitted disease? I think they're trying to ridicule your previous statement about a virus not being transmittable.
Mm-hmm. Most of them, definitely not. HIV, no, that's a scam. That's a definite scam. And I mean, this stuff requires hours and hours of research, because it sounds like when you've been so indoctrinated with a certain set of information from the mainstream for so long, and you hear someone talk contrary to it, of course it sounds ridiculous. Of course it does. That's normal. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence, like HIV being some disease that leads to AIDS. Well, that's an extraordinary claim in itself. Like, have you done the research and actually looked into that?
Well, that's just one sexually transmitted disease. Obviously, there's things such as syphilis and gonorrhea and herpes, hepatitis.
I don't know all about them, but I'd recommend, if you're really interested about that stuff, don't talk to me about it. Go listen to the doctors. Go listen to Agnes von der Planitz and Dr. Thomas Cohen and Rashid Buttar and Andrew Kaufman. There's heaps of doctors out there. Go do some reading. I'm just the man that's done a bit of study into it, and, you know, I'm going to make my own choices with sexuality, whatever. I'm confident in that. You go do whatever you want to do. You know, come up with your own answers with that.
We won't go too down the rabbit hole or open any more can of worms, but
rabbit holes everywhere. Yeah,
I think it's clear the audience know where you stand on such medical matters, and they should be familiar where I stand as well, given that, well, I have said that it's likely that I caught the flu from one of my associates last year and maybe gave it to other people than that. So people know my views on transmission of viruses there. There's a lot of gaslighters in the live chat tonight. But we'll move on to the second wave now. So we had the harshest lockdown restrictions. You weren't even allowed to play golf or go fishing, even on your own. We were the slowest to reopen cafes, restaurants, and pubs. And as I mentioned before, Dan Andrews spoke to us like we were children. But we are home to the second wave with 75 new coronavirus infections confirmed today, up from 49 yesterday, and it was 41 on Saturday, 30 on Friday, and 33 on Thursday. And I'll bring up the interactive map here. There we go there. So it's still heavily concentrated in the northwest. So the city of Hume, which takes in Broadmeadows and Sunbury, that now has 51 active cases. Bringbank, right next door, has 31. The city of Casey in the southeast is stable at 15, but it's getting much worse in the municipalities next to Hume and Bringbank. Moonee Valley, 24. Moreland, 26. So it's clearly confined to those areas, and government and media have basically admitted that the outbreaks are in these migrant multicultural areas where English is a second language. So they're clearly not going to be listening to Daniel Andrews's threats and scorn as much as other people. And this, of course, is after Daniel Andrews shrugged his shoulders that he couldn't stop the Black Lives Matter rallies that occurred. And you and other anti-lockdown activists who attended those rallies were visited by the police. I wonder if that's happened to the Black Lives Matter activists. Can you just talk us through when the police arrived at your door? They all seem to come at 9:30 at night. That's the same what happened to Raphael. That seems to be their favorite time of the evening.
That's weird. I don't know what the connection is with that. But yeah, maybe they just like disturbing people at night when they're busy. But yeah, so they rocked up on my door. And when they first got there, they were asking if I was, you know, my name. And I said, I don't feel obliged to answer that. And they said, well, what's your name? What do you go by? I'm like, well, I go by James. That's it, you know, because you don't have to identify yourself to the police unless you've actually committed a crime or you're under arrest or you've been arrested. And I had done neither of those. So yeah, they started speaking for a little bit, and then I went and grabbed my phone and came back and started filming them. And yeah, there was two cops there. But one seemed like there was some humanity left in him, and he was just, you know, just doing what he's told and was being bullied by the others to read off a script, just nonsense. And then the other cop there, you could just tell, soulless, unfortunately. And they just kept on ranting, and I was asking, why are you actually here? What are you doing trespassing on my land? Like, what's going on? And, you know, they didn't really have any answers. And I asked them, why did you become police officers? Like, what's the reason you joined the police force? Was it to do this? Like, surely not. Surely you'd be interested in doing better things like actually going after real criminals. But, you know, a lot of the time they can't think for themselves, which is very disappointing.
It's easy to pick on largely compliant people who've been out of the house for unapproved reason. It's a bit tougher to maybe crack down on youth gangs who have, since the lockdown was lifted, have been running rampant again, especially in those coronavirus hotspots in the Northwest. But we've heard now, straight from Daniel Andrews's mouth, that this lockdown was completely perverse, because he mentioned that people who tested positive to coronavirus were ignoring directions to self-isolate and were going to events. Well, hang on. They've arrested people such as yourself, Fanos, who haven't got the virus, yet the people who are actually infectious, they haven't bothered to make sure that they are self-isolating, and they've locked all the healthy people up, such as yourself, banned people from going to the gym to keep fit and a healthy immune system. You're a regular gym junkie, and caused a whole lot of destruction of businesses and jobs, which, as I mentioned, physical and mental health, the people affected by that, their health will deteriorate as well. And it seems to have been, well, it has been for nothing.
Yeah, well, they wanted to lock everyone down to make them more sick. But, like, I'm seriously surprised the numbers are still so low. Like, only 104 deaths, because humans need to go out in the sunlight to start a chain reaction which creates vitamin D in their system. They need fresh air. They need to be socializing with other people for their mental well-being. And they push a fear-mongering attitude through the mainstream media as a weapon. And when people are in a state of fear, it causes stress, and it sparks a cascade of hormones that go through the cell membrane into the cell, and then the DNA prints out certain proteins and doesn't print out other proteins. And there's adrenaline and cortisol, which causes people to be more and more sick. But, like, it's still very surprisingly low, only 104, even with all this lockdown business and telling people to put on masks and they're breathing in
which,
poison. And
health officers have basically conceded to us masks don't work. they have never advised people to wear masks. And all the masks communicate when I see people out in public wearing masks or gloves is that it's either a virtue signal, like, look at me, I'm taking the virus seriously, or you're just a complete hypochondriac worrywart, and they're the type of people, if you come within an inch too close to them, they'll berate you. They're the people I do want to keep a social distance from, because they're clearly people who are just believing the hype. And now let's just have a look at, because I've got another infographic up. Remember, we were told that we needed to be locked down so our hospitals weren't going to be overwhelmed. And our ICUs. This is the Australian Government Department of Health today. 1 in intensive care, 11 in hospital nationwide. That's what we're concerned about this second wave. So yes, more people are getting the coronavirus, but the ICU wards and the hospitals, nobody's being admitted to that. So why are we worried if nobody's going to hospital, not even close to dying?
Yeah, just want to back up with the masks. It's like, well, why do people wear masks and gloves? And it's because they're in a state of fear. They're afraid, and they think they're doing the right thing. They're misinformed. Like, they think it actually is going to help them. So in that way, like, I don't know, I don't get angry at them. I just feel sorry for them. you know, because they're misinformed and they think they're doing something that's going to protect their health and maybe even their children or their family. But as a matter of fact, it's not going to help them. But yeah, with that, yeah, you can look on that Australian website. And it was a month or two ago on, I think it was Channel 9 or Channel 7 News, I did a video about it. They predicted that there was going to be 1.6 or 7 million cases of coronavirus Australia-wide by the 10th of May. And by the 10th of May, well, even now, there was only, 7,000 cases or something, which is wrong by 99.6% when I did the calculations a few weeks ago. It's like, that is a huge mistake to make. Like 99%. Why do people still listen to these experts and leaders who were wrong about a statistic by 99%?
Yeah,
bamboozling.
Exactly. Yeah. And just going back to the infographic here, total cases in Australia of coronavirus, 7,686. That's barely any. And if you look at the positive testing rate nationwide, 0.3%. In Victoria, it's been 0.3% who've tested positive, who've got that nasal swab.
And that's why they caused huge amounts of fear mongering with, you know, saying the exhibition center, I hadn't heard that before, but they were going to use that as a morgue and all these other big hospital setups. And they said the numbers were going to be really high because they know how the body works. They're aware of that. They know practically everything. And they know when people go into a state of fear, they get sick. That's one of the biggest leading killers of people getting sick is because of fear. Because when they're in that state of fear, then their body can't produce other antioxidants and other positive proteins and nutrients in their body to keep them healthy. So they cause a huge spike in fear. They, you know, get people going crazy about the toilet paper and buying heaps of food. And then the people who are not aware of what's going on behind the scenes, they think it's real. They actually believe what the media and the government is telling them. And then they get afraid, because imagine for a second, Tim, if you actually believed in this, and thought it was real and that there was going to be millions of people dying and it was going to be a huge pandemic, you would be afraid. Like, I could put myself in their shoes and say, yeah, for sure, you would be pretty afraid of, like, dying from this random invisible disease that, you know, just kills at will. So that's what they did as a tactic to try and get more people sick, because they want the numbers to go up higher and higher, because they know when the numbers are this low, it's destroying their reputation and it makes it harder for even the unaware people to believe in it. That's why they started all this mass sending the army out and these teams to go out to people's houses, because they're like, we got to get these numbers up somehow, because they're not going up by themselves. They've got all these signs around telling people to go get tested. And they're not doing it.
It was Donald Trump who said it bluntly: if you test more people, you're going to find more cases. And there is probably people who've got the coronavirus or had the coronavirus and didn't know that they had it, and probably passed it on to people who didn't feel asymptomatic as well, which either proves that it wasn't as deadly as we were told it was, or we've already reached herd immunity.
Yeah, I mean, that's still going under the assumption of a virus being contagious. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but, like, for me personally, I know it's not, and they also know it's not. But, you know, people can believe whatever they want to believe. That's fine. Yeah.
But it's clear that this time around, with the second wave, that people aren't getting sucked in like they did last time, especially since, well, first of all, 104 deaths, you can't really say to people with the second wave that you're going to need the convention center again for a morgue when you didn't need it the first time. And the fact that Daniel Andrews's credibility is now in the toilet, because everyone saw with the Black Lives Matter protest, the double standard, where none of them were fined, yet they came down on people such as you like a ton of bricks and made all sorts of threats to people. If they left the home, they'd be fined. And people saw those Black Lives Matter rallies saying, hang on, if you're turning a blind eye to this, why should I obey the social distancing, the limits on visitors to houses and that? Why should I pay attention to that? And also the 60 Minutes expose on one of Daniel Andrews' most senior ministers, Adam Somnia, using taxpayer staffers to branch stack. He puts himself up as the moral authority, Daniel Andrews, and people saw that and it's like, why should we follow the rules when your government isn't following them yourself? And you notice that Daniel Andrews, he knows that he can't threaten a second lockdown. He can't lecture and hector people again. He knows he is his authority, credibility is shot, and they really don't know what they're doing now.
Oh, they'll continue it. They're very clever and they've planned this out for a long time. I'm assuming, I can't say I know for sure, but just a theory, they'll probably say that the virus is going to mutate or something like that, because that's a believability factor behind that. And they'll probably want to link it somehow in the timing with 5G when they turn that on as well, because 5G doesn't cause coronavirus. It causes people to get sick because it emits radiation thousands of times higher than a microwave. And that is not good for the human body, and people get sick. So when they do that, then they'll say, oh, it's come back and there's a spike, but the virus has mutated. That's why it's so much more infectious now. It's even deadlier. More lockdowns, and you can only guess what's going to happen from there.
Well, in my opinion, you can only get people compliant for a lockdown once, and you can only wreck an economy. And, well, we're going to see more jobs and businesses destroyed with the time lag. You can only do that once. And I think that's why Daniel Andrews is only talking about regional lockdowns now, because he knows he can't lock down the state again, especially now since all the businesses, they've only just been reopened for a few weeks.
Why can't they lock it down again?
Well, as I just said, because they've lost their... they can't sell the fear again, and they've lost their authority to make people compliant. They can try and do it, but they're not going to get people compliant again.
Let's hope so. But that's when they bring in martial law and all that. These are just assumptions at the moment I'm making. But if they want to do another lockdown, which I'm assuming they will, I don't know when it will be, and I may be wrong with that. Let's hope so. But they can easily enforce that, because there's a chain of command. When the powers behind the government and the politicians tell them what to do, then they tell the media, they tell the public, and then they're going to tell the high up police commissioners, they'll tell the generals in the army, who most of them are part of the cult, and it just filters down. And like, I've been in the army personally myself, you know, at the bottom rung, and people at the bottom rung just do what they're told from higher up. And when higher up tells you what to do, they'll go down. And when it's covered with the illusion of this is for your safety, people will do it. Let's hope they don't. Let's hope they have enough common sense and they've done enough research to realize it's all a hoax. But I don't think we're at that point yet. It's going to take a lot more of them pushing the population's buttons for more people to wake up. That's a good thing. The harder they push, the more people are going to wake up. And I think more than likely there will be another lockdown and there'll be some kind of martial law, but we'll see. I mean, they already got 1,000 ADF soldiers to help with the testing and stuff.
Well, what are they gonna do? Daniel Andrews withdrew the request at the last minute last Thursday. They were on their way to the Victorian border, then they were pulled back, which he clearly got cold feet about what it would mean to have boots on the ground domestically, which is then I go to the point now that they just don't know what to do now, the Andrews government.
No, they definitely know what to do. They've planned this. It's not like they're just jumping into it and they've got no planning. They would have planned this for a long time ago. Well, they'd have most of it.
My opinion is that governments are more stupid and incompetent than conspiring. I mean, let's have a look at the COVID Safe app. 6 million downloads. It was supposedly going to trace coronavirus cases. Hasn't traced a single case. It's been a massive Big Brother bungle.
But there's a big difference between what they say it's going to do and what they mean it to actually do. Because they say a lot of things they don't follow through with, and they don't say a lot of other things that they do follow through with. Probably according to them, it has been a huge success.
Well, they said that for a while, but they're not telling us to download the app anymore. They used to do it every press conference, but not now.
Okay, yeah. They'll probably bring it back up. They cycle through things because otherwise people, you know, they get deaf to hearing the same thing too many times. You know, it's got to be repeated, but if it's just constant, then people get deaf to that message. They'll talk about other things. That's why there was the whole big Black Lives Matter, because that was all orchestrated in America to, you know, cause more chaos and division between the world. Because when people are fighting against each other, they're not focusing on who the real enemy is.
Yes, we've gone from the coronavirus pandemic to Black Lives Matter and everything's racist back to the second wave. That's the media narrative as well, not just the political narrative. But the lockdowns, the fines. Did you receive a fine?
No, I haven't got one. But I'm assuming I still will.
Because we still don't know whether the issuance of these fines, it's been legal at all, because the courts are clogged at the moment because they've been shut down. These fines could be struck out of court. If anyone's paid these fines, I would say that you're a sucker. They could all be thrown out in courts, and the government they're even more humiliated.
Yeah, well, any of their fines are totally illegal, because when you question their authority, who is Fines Victoria? Where do they get their authority from? They're not a legitimate government body. They are a corporation with a registered ABN number. They, look at the patch on the police officer's shoulder. It literally has a satanic pentagram. It's got the Lex Foray, the Roman wreath indicating Roman control. It's got the St. Andrew's crown at the top. It's all fake. And obviously each of these little things I'm talking about, you could go and explore for a year on each of them. But they're all illegal, because it was a legislation breach. Legislation is not the law. It requires consent, because you have common law and then you've got legislation, statutes, acts, directives, rules. They all require consent. And most of the time they trick people into that consent. But common law is the real law, which is the right and just law. You know, don't do to others that you wouldn't want done to yourself, to summarize.
Well, on that question, I've always been of the opinion that government authority only exists as long as the people give it their consent. That's the bottom line in all of this. But obviously we've got different interpretations of that. We've got different predictions about where the pandemic and this renewed outbreak will go. But I've thoroughly enjoyed our discussion tonight, and people can find you on YouTube and Facebook.
Yep, and I'd agree with you with what you said about the government. The government's only got authority when the people believe in it. That's true. That's a true statement. Because if the people don't believe in it, then there's not. There is no authority. But yes, you can find me on the Conscious Truth Network, talking about all these controversial topics, talking about consciousness and life and the world and freedom and all that kind of good stuff. If you're interested about anything else, yeah, send me a message. Jump into the group.
I've linked to your channels in the description and on the show notes page. We are out of time now. We did start late, so we are finishing late. But I'd like to catch up again with you further on during the year to assess where we're at, what will be our future destination. Predicting the future or what's going to happen in 6 months is proven to be quite futile.
We'll say, yeah, awesome. Glad to be on the show. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Tim.
Take care.
Cool. Bye.
All right, and that concludes the show on Wilmsfront's Monday night return. I'll be back at the regular Wednesday night time slot of 6:30 p.m. Melbourne time on the show YouTube and DLive. Now, this week, there will be no Uncuckables on Thursday. That is because the Uncuckables channel is being utilized for the XYZ conference, which the first one starts in 10 minutes at 8 p.m. Melbourne time over on the Uncuckables YouTube channel, runs Monday to Friday. There will be a special Uncuckables this Saturday night for the Eid Monaro by-election. We'll be broadcasting from 8 p.m. Melbourne time for a full analysis of that by-election result and the political fallout, and Trad-Tasman Talk will of course still air at its regular time, 6 p.m. Friday. That's all from me tonight. Please subscribe, comment below, check out the unshackled.net for the latest news and commentary, and I'll see you all again on Wednesday. Good night.
Thanks for tuning in to Wilmsfront. Visit timwilms.com or Rational Rise TV to view the archive of episodes. And keep visiting theunshackled.net to view all our shows. And to keep up with the latest real news and analysis.